Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, alongside my co-host, bringing you the latest in tech, AI, and systems engineering.
Today, we are looking at a profound shift in how the national security apparatus views artificial intelligence, specifically regarding the generation of biological weapons. The barrier to entry for catastrophic harm is dropping faster than many anticipated.
We will also examine a new framework out of the healthcare sector called Living Compliance, which proposes using agentic AI to manage the overwhelming regulatory burden of modern hospital operations.
And later in the show, we track a high-profile departure from GitHub. Mitchell Hashimoto is pulling his ghosty terminal emulator project off the platform, citing chronic reliability issues that seem increasingly tied to the massive surge in AI-driven development tools.
It is a packed briefing today. Let's dive right in. We start today with a sobering look at AI safety and national security. There's a new report highlighting research by former UN weapons inspector Rocco Casagrande, who used various frontier AI chatbots to generate highly specific instructions for planning biological attacks.
And this isn't just a theoretical concern anymore. A 2025 RAND report specifically documented that foundation models, including Llama 3.1405b, ChatGPT 4.0, and Claude 3.5 Sonnet, were able to provide accurate, actionable guidance for recovering live poliovirus from synthetic DNA.
That detail about the poliovirus is exactly what has security officials on edge. A year or two ago, the consensus was that AI models essentially acted as a more efficient search engine, providing information that was already publicly accessible. But newer research indicates these frontier models are synthesizing fragmented scientific literature into step-by-step technical guidance that significantly lowers the barrier to entry for non-experts.
Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei recently testified to the U.S. Senate about this exact issue. He warned that AI could enable more actors to conduct large-scale biological attacks within just a few years. When the CEO of a leading AI lab goes to Congress to explicitly outline the bioweapon potential of their own technology sector, it forces a major shift in policy.
The core debate here is about where the actual bottleneck lies. Is the risk primarily about chatbots providing the recipes, or is the greater danger the integration of these AI models with automated laboratory equipment and commercial synthetic DNA synthesis?
That is the critical distinction. If an AI can give you a recipe, that is dangerous. But if an agentic AI can interface directly with a cloud lab or a DNA synthesis provider, bypassing human oversight entirely, that fundamentally changes the threat landscape. The hardware integration is where the digital risk becomes a physical reality.
And this brings us to the tension between open scientific research and AI safety. Open source advocates argue that restricting access to these models harms legitimate biological research and pandemic preparedness. But how do you balance that with the necessity of restricting access to information that could be misused for catastrophic harm?
It is arguably the hardest governance question in tech right now. You can't unpublish the foundational biology papers that these models trained on, but you can compel frontier model developers to implement rigorous red teaming for biological capabilities before release. The problem is that open-weight models, once released, can have those guardrails stripped away by bad actors.
Which is why we are seeing government agencies pivot to focus heavily on biosecurity and AI safety guardrails, rather than just treating AI as a software issue. The capability overhang is real, and the policy is scrambling to catch up.
Moving to the healthcare sector, we have a fascinating piece published on April 29th by the law firm Foley & Lardner, written in collaboration with Sam and Lamara DeBrower, the CEO and CTO of XY.AI. They are proposing a concept called living compliance. This addresses a massive operational bottleneck in healthcare. Right now, hospitals rely on what the authors call static compliance. This involves periodic, manual audits to ensure that the organization is adhering to an incredibly complex web of privacy, safety, and billing regulations. The problem is that regulations and operational realities change faster than these manual audits can track.
Exactly. Living compliance proposes an architectural philosophy that replaces those periodic audits with continuous, real-time data streams. The idea is that governance and compliance requirements are programmatically embedded into the technology itself using agentic AI.
So instead of having a compliance officer review records 3 months after a patient visit to see if a protocol was followed, an AI agent is continuously monitoring the operational tasks in real time. It enforces the guardrails as the work is being done, ensuring audit-ready documentation at every step.
The promise here is significant, reducing human error and allowing healthcare systems to scale AI adoption without violating strict privacy regulations like HIPAA. But it opens up some really thorny questions about trust and liability.
Right. How does an organization ensure that the living automated compliance system itself remains compliant? If you hand over your regulatory oversight to an agentic AI, you have to ensure that the AI isn't suffering from technical drift, hallucinations, or biased decision-making.
And the legal implications are immense. If an agentic AI makes a decision or fails to flag an action that leads to a compliance violation or patient harm, how is legal liability apportioned? Is it the healthcare provider who deployed the system, the AI developer who built the foundation model, or the software vendor who integrated it?
That is exactly why you have a major law firm like Foley & Lardner co-authoring this piece. The legal frameworks for software liability are going to be tested aggressively as agentic systems move from coding assistants to operational managers in highly regulated industries. They are trying to establish the legal and architectural standards for this before the inevitable wave of litigation hits.
It is a clear signal that the enterprise AI conversation is maturing. We are moving past what can the model write to how can the model govern an institution's risk profile continuously.
Our final deep dive today covers a highly symbolic shift in the developer ecosystem. Mitchell Hashimoto, a veteran developer and the co-founder of HashiCorp, announced he is moving his popular terminal emulator project, Ghosty, away from GitHub.
This is notable not just because of the project, but because of who is doing it. Hashimoto is GitHub user 1299. He joined in February 2008. He has been deeply embedded in that platform since its earliest days. But he kept a journal over the past month and found that GitHub outages negatively impacted his work on almost every single day.
GitHub has definitely been struggling with uptime recently. They acknowledged the service incidents, including a major Elasticsearch cluster overload that occurred on April 27th. But the frequency of these disruptions has led serious open source developers to question the platform's stability for professional daily workflows.
Many in the community are attributing this increased load, at least in part, to the massive surge in automated agentic AI coding workflows. When you have thousands of AI agents constantly fetching repositories, triggering CI/CD pipelines, and opening pull requests autonomously, it creates a fundamentally different traffic pattern than human developers.
Hashimoto stated the migration will be gradual, and a read-only mirror of the Ghosty repository will remain on GitHub. But it raises a broader question. Is this a symbolic protest by a prominent developer, or does it signal a broader trend of platform flight among serious open source projects?
It is a massive trade-off. Moving away from GitHub means giving up integrated CI/CD, built-in issue tracking, and the primary engine for community discovery. You essentially have to rebuild or self-host your social and technical infrastructure.
Which is ironic, because that was the exact problem GitHub solved 15 years ago. It centralized everything to remove friction. Now, the friction is coming from the centralization itself, exacerbated by AI-driven load.
Exactly. If GitHub's reliability issues persist, we might see a bifurcation where smaller projects stay for the convenience, but mission-critical or highly active projects federate out to self-hosted GitLab or Forgeo instances to guarantee their own uptime. It's a space we need to watch closely.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick. We have the 1.0 release of a highly anticipated editor, a reality check on Rust's safety guarantees, and a look at some developer friction in Anthropic's Claude code. Zed 1.0 was officially released on April 29th. Built in Rust and heavily GPU accelerated, it's positioned by Nathan Sobo's team as the high-performance alternative to VS Code.
It's incredibly fast,
but the community is somewhat divided. Back in March, Zed updated its terms of service to include a class action waiver and forced binding arbitration. That move actually prompted a fork of the project, named Gram, showing that while developers love the speed, they are wary of the aggressive commercial and AI-centric roadmap.
A recently disclosed 44 CVEs in UUtils, which is a Rust-based re-implementation of GNU Core Utils, discovered during an audit for the Ubuntu 26.04 LTS release. The catch here is that none of these 44 bugs were caught by Rust's standard safety mechanisms, like the borrow checker. They were largely TOCTU, time of check to time of use race conditions, involving file paths. It is a stark reminder that while Rust eliminates memory safety bugs, it doesn't protect you from system-level logic and concurrency flaws.
Tying back to our earlier ghosty discussion, Armin Ronecker published a piece titled Before GitHub, reflecting on the era of self-hosted subversion repositories and track instances.
Ronecker argues that while GitHub removed the friction of publishing code, it inadvertently enabled the micro-dependency explosion we see today. It's a great historical look at how centralizing the social infrastructure of code changed the actual architecture of modern software.
Over on the Claude Code Repository, issue 54764 is requesting a format flag for exports, allowing developers to pull session histories as Markdown or JSON rather than just plain text dumps.
It also asks for a selective export of just the recent turns. As agentic sessions get longer and noisier with debugging loops, developers need better ways to extract clean change logs without spending extra tokens to have the model re-summarize everything.
Also, in Claude Code, issue 54758 highlights a flaw in the mobile remote control feature introduced in February. When the agent wants to edit a file, the mobile prompt shows the file path but stays stuck on running instead of showing the actual code diff. This completely undermines the human-in-the-loop safety model. If you can't preview the code changes on your phone before hitting approve, you aren't really reviewing the code. You're just blindly rubber-stamping the AI's actions.
That wraps up today's briefing. It's clear that as AI systems gain more agency, the friction points, whether in national security, healthcare compliance, or developer tools, are becoming much more pronounced.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more updates from the edge of tech.
See you then.